Beis, Perkei Yashen, in terms of our own Chazara. We'll begin now Perkei of Hagosel. I just want to point out that the reason I didn't say anything on the last sugya of the second Perek was not out of a lack of chashivos of the sugya. Pashas is the most important sugya in the entire Perek in terms of the fact that there's an interface between the world of Teva and our behavior, stakel b'oraisa ubara alma, that clearly Torah and the way the world turns are very, very strongly interrelated. I just don't have anything to add to what the Gemara says, other than the fact that yesh din v'yesh dayan, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and everything is mida k'neged mida, and that one can simply take the averos that are linked together and find within them common denominators that would that would link them in terms of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to these averos. That we have a principle of mida k'neged mida, and certainly that's what's spoken of over here in the Gemara. Beginning the third perek, we're moving over from the world of yeshiva sukkah to the world of arba minim, and we have within the Mishnayos a description of the psulim that apply to the arba minim. What exactly is the cheftza shel mitzvah, and what are the common psulim, and what are the psulim of each min bifnei atzmo, and then we're going to have sugyos that are very much shas sugyos, particularly in the first few blat, in terms of the world of mitzvah b'avera, the world of yeyush, the world of shinui, and in that respect it's very, very different than that which we spoke about within the second parak. The Mishnah begins lulav hagazel v'hayavesh pasul. Lulav hagazel we'll talk about in the Gemara. But Lulav Hayavesh, here the Rishonim speak about this already on the Mishnah, and Rashi points out that the psul of Yavesh is the Be'intzva Muhuderes Dichsiv V'Anvehu. Rashi quotes the Pasuk in Shiras Hayam Zekeli V'Anvehu as the source of the psul of Yavesh by Lulav. Tosfos very, very much takes him to task and points out that the Gemara understands the source of the psul from a totally different core. Mefarish b'Gemara mishum de'iska shlulav le'esrok d'chsiv be'hadar v'lo k'moshe pirish hakunturus mishum d'chsiv zekeli v'anevehu. That we're dealing over here with an internal halacha within arba minim, a world of hadar, which we find in the pasuk by esrog creates hadar. And the Gemara in Daf Lamed Aleph, Amad Aleph, points out that we have a machokes tanoim, but the Rabbanon make a hekesh between lulav and esrog, just as an esrog requires hadar, so also a lulav, and that's the source of the psul of Yavesh. I sent you to the Ravid, that the Ravid has quotes the Yerushalmi. What's the source of the psul of Yavesh according to the Yerushalmi?
It's
Kames. The arba minim are used as means of halel, and as such, anything which is kemes is going to be possible within the world of arba minim. The Ravid points this out both in the Hagos on the Rif and his Hagos on the Rambam. L'chora, this isn't just a question of theory, but there are nafkaminas between the different mikoros, or at least possible nafkaminas between the different makoros, and that's where Tosfos begins his questioning of Rashi. The Tosfos points out that lo yitachein that Rashi is correct, because the psul of zekeli va'anvehu eino ela lichatchila velo mifsal b'hachi. Where do we see that the psul of lulav hayavesh is b'dieved? And Tosfos is assuming the psul of lulav hayavesh is b'dieved, and zekeli va'anvehu is only l'chatchila. How do Tosfos know it's b'dieved? Klutz kashya, very simple quote, yes?
Well, it's not so simple. It sounds like it's not correct. More later, but he must hold it against the Rebbe,
We'll come to the Gemara, but simply what within the context of Tosus and Daf Kaf Tesem at base, Tosus over here.
The Mishnah
simply uses the word pasul. The word pasul in the Mishnah default is a psul, even b'dieved, and that's Tosus's question on Rashi that lechora the psul of zekeli va'anvehu we have in the first parak by the world of Eged. When we tie the arba minim together, that's a din of zekeli va'anvehu, and the Gemara says black and white over there lo agado kasher. The question is, what do we do with such a question on Rashi? So, of course, we're going to see, as Ben pointed out, that the world of Bidyevid is not necessarily so tight. But let's assume like Tosos, that we have a psul Bidyevid, and we have a Gemara that tells us that Zekeilu Va'anveyu is L'chatchila. Where would you go with Rashi? Oh, where did I send you the Marmar Kamos with Rashi? Gemara and Shabbos, Gemara and Gittin. Namely, maybe there are other makoros for Zekeli va'anvehu. Namely, that Yitachin, that Zekeli va'anvehu would be multifaceted. There may be an aspect of Zekeli va'anvehu that certainly is l'chatchila, and that's the language of the Braisa in Shabbos, Talus Noah, Lulav, in other words, all of the noes that we have, but yitachen that there's another din of zekeli vanveyu as well, and that's where I sent you to two makoros, one in Shabbos and one in Gittin. What do we see in the Gemara in Shabbos? Because I think that's the most powerful of the makoros. That we have a Mishnah that called Tzarchei Hamila Ardocha Shabbos Bayom Hashmini Yimo Bayom Hashmini Chazal Ardoresh Afilu B'Shabbos. Whether Machshire Mila Ardocha Shabbos, that's a Machlokes Tanayim. That's the din of Rav Eliezer the Mila. That's the Rav Eliezer holds that all Machshirim are Docha Shabbos. But leaving aside the Shita Rav Eliezer, Mila per se is Docha Shabbos, and yet the Mishnah has an overall statement called Tzarchei Mila before it goes and it's Mefareth one by one, Lasuye Mai. So the Gemara says it comes to teach us that when the Moel is involved in the Mila, he's allowed to cut. And this, again, according is the parish of Rashi. Rashi understands, because we're showing, we're talking on Shabbos, that when the Moel is being Mal on Shabbos, he's allowed not only to cut those tzitzim, those parts of the Arla that are ma'akev, but even those parts that are not ma'akev. That's as long as he is still osik. The moment piresh, the moment he takes a step back, then he can only return for those tzitzim that are ma'akev. Mila is a chabala, it's one of lamites avos melachos. The only heter is the mitzvah of mila. That which is ma'akev, that's the heter. That which is not ma'akev, there's no heter to return to once he stopped. So the Gemara asked, who mantana pirish eno choser? What is the makar that once the mohel lifted his hand, there's already a certain hesach hadas that he shouldn't return to the tzitzin she'ein ma'akvin? This Gemara wants to link it to Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher of Yochem ben Broka in the world of Korban Pesach, that on Shabbos we have the heter also to bring the korbano. In other words, that the korbanos that are chova are allowed to be brought even on Shabbos, and the question is, how far do we cut in order to be able to remove the emurim? And Rabbi Yishmael ben Moshe Rocha Broka says only the necessary amount, nothing more than the necessary amount. So Gemara says, so over here also, once you cut, you only cut the necessary amount. So Gemara then distinguishes, Ad kan lo kamar Rav Yishmael ben Osher Rav Yochanan ben Broka hasam mishum delo be'inan zekeli va'anvehu. Aval hacha be'inan zekeli va'anvehu hachi nami. What is the hachi nami? Hachi nami within the Gemara. What is one allowed to do on Shabbos?
You can go back and cut even those parts that aren't.
That if he's still cutting, he can not only cut that which he needs, but even that which he doesn't need, as long as it's for the aesthetics. And yitachen also, that even if he stopped, according to this day in the Gemara, he can return to the parts that are now ma'akev because of Zekei Liva and Vehu. Namely, that Zekei Liva and Vehu can trump Malacha on Shabbos. This is not a lechatchila. Right, here we're dealing with a principle which is considered to have weight, mida oraisa, that it can override the issue of Chilul Shabbos. Even when we're only dealing with the world of Zekei Liva and Vehu, we already took care of the tzitzim ha-ma'akvim. That's a very, very powerful sugya. And then we also have the sugya in Gittin, in which the Gemara deals with the situation of a get that was written shlo gishma, and the question is, can we vi aksav al gabi ksav be machshir this get by writing on top of it, letter by letter, l'shem shamayim? Is that considered to be, would that be a form of giving the shlishma? And the Gemara basically says that according to Rav Yehuda, why not? Masha'en kein, according to the Chachamim, they say that had we been dealing in a similar situation in a Sefer Torah and we wanted to write a shame lishma, we would not be able to write by writing over. Had the shame been written shlo lishma, we couldn't be machshir by writing over lishma. The Gemara Amar of HaChaber Yaakov, Dil Malohi, Ad Kan Olkami Rabbanan Hasam, Debinan Zekei Liva Anvehu Dovoleka, Aval Hachalo. Namely, what is the Gemara telling us in terms of Zekei Liva Anvehu? That what will it do? It'll passel a Sefer Torah. It'll passel a Shem Lishma. That if we lack Zekei Liva Anvehu, then the Sefer is going to be passel, even though Be'ikaron, it can make the Torah, Sefer Torah kosher, just as it can make the get kosher. But the lack of Zekei Liva Anvehu can passel a Sefer Torah. The question over there in the Gemara is the phrase, Ein Hashem Min Hamuvchar. Namely, that is on what level are we saying the Sefer Torah is no good? Is it no good b'di'evet, or is it only no good l'chatchila? What did you see over there in the Shach?
Even b'di'evet,
right? That the Shach points out that im lo asa kein pasul lo mahani ha'avaras kumus aleihem lishma. That even b'di'evet, a Sefer Torah is going to be pasul if we lack the Zekeli v'anvehu. Within the Magin Avraham, the Magin Avraham is not dealing directly with being machshir the Sefer Torah. He's talking about blackening the Ritzuos, where we have Halacha Moshe Misinai, that they have to be blackened. And the question is, if they were blackened b'psul, shlo lishman, and then a Jew came and was machshir them lishman, should that be okay? And so the Moin Avraham says that this would be okay even according to Rabbanan. The Rabbanan only say that the Sefer Torah is possible because of Menumar. Masha Ein Kein, without the issue of Zekei Liva Anvehu, would have been kosher. So it appears that the Magen Avraham also agrees that the issue of Rabbanan is a Ma'akev. And since it's only Ma'akev by a Sefer Torah, it wouldn't be Ma'akev in the world of the Ritzuos of the Tfilin, where there is no Minumar. Everything would be the same shade.
So he would say it's absolutely even Midyevet.
And I think that's what Mashmaf Magen Avraham. However, there is this fascinating tshuva of Akiva Eger, in terms of a Sefer Torah that was missing two words, the words El Yosef, and the one who wrote the question was bothered that maybe the Sofer, as we know, there's a concept of chisaron ayadei hadomos, that many times when a sofer is copying, then his eyes simply move over to the next words, and he moves from one word to the same word, but a few words later. And so maybe over here the L which is in the Sefer Torah, in Vayomer Yaakov El Yosef Kael Shakai, that in this Sefer Torah where it simply says Vayomer Yaakov Kael Shakai, that maybe the first Aleph Lamed had been written as a word El rather than as the word Kael, and by adding in an El Yosef, we're going to have a problem of what are we going to do with this word. So Rabbi Kiva Eger builds a Sfeik Sfeika based on what assumption? that the din of Rav Elazar ben Rav Achar ben Yaakov of Ein Hashem min Amuvchar is on what plane? Only Elachatchila. On that basis, he builds a Sveik Sveika, but then he appears to backtrack. But in any case, we have at least the Shach certainly, and the Magen Avraham probably, and at least one side of Rabbi Akiva Eger, that we have a Zekei Livan Veyu, which is a Ma'akev. So we find the Ma'akev of Zekei Livan Veyu in the world of Sefer Torah. We have a Zekei Livan Veyu, which is a Ma'akev in the world of Mila. And so it's not so much of a jump to say that according to Rashi, we also have this plane of Zekei Livan Veyu that can be posel a lulav, even b'dieved, namely that there are tzvei dinim, that there are two dinim of Zekei Livan Veyu, one of which is above and beyond the cheftza of the mitzvah, simply to beautify it, and that that is what's spoken of on Daf Yud Aleph from the Beis. And then within the cheftza shel mitzvah, as part and parcel of the kiyum mitzvah, we also have a ma'akev. So it's not, you know, it's so certainly I think that one would be able to say in this direction. In other words, I'm well aware that I'm going off of that which is written in the Rishimos, that the Rishimos tried to find the common denominator between the world of shame in Sefer Torah and the world of Arba Minim. But it didn't mention at all the Gemara in Shabbos. And so I think, and this is the way that when I learned these sugyas with Rav Lichtenstein, that which is written in the Rishimos is going in the wrong direction. How do we know, Be'emet, when a Zekei Livan Veyu is l'chatchila and when it's b'di'eved? That l'chora, you know, where it's working backwards, you know, it's from the sugya. I don't, you know, where it's that both options exist. But I don't know necessarily that I can think of a common denominator between Mila, Sefer Torah, and Lulav, and particularly that even within Mila itself, Pashas, that there may be a level which is only Elechatchila, and Hu Hadin within the Arba Minim, Daf Yud Aleph, we have a level which is Elechatchila. So I don't know necessarily that one has to create two different types of mitzvos. Here, this the Zekei Vei was l'chatchila. Here, it's b'di'evan. As long as we have the option, that should be enough.
So Rashi would agree with Tosos's raya that he brings against him and just say that.
100%, but that's one level of Zekei Vei. But over here, there's a different level. What will Rashi do with the hekesh between lulav and esrog? Isn't that a black and white Gemara on Daf Lamed Aleph that the Gemara says that, in other words, Tana Yavesh Pasul, Rav Yehuda Machshir, Amarava Machokes Belulov, Drabanan Savri Machshin and Lulov the Esrog. And just as in Esrog Yavesh is Pasul, so also in Lulov, Ma Esrog Boy Hadar, Af Lulov Boy Hadar, the Rav Yehuda Savar, Lo Machshin and Lulov the Esrog. Aval Esrog Dibi Hakol, Hadar Beinan. Isn't that a black and white Gemara that tells us that the Makar of Yavesh by Lulov, according to the Rabbanan, is Hadar? What would Rashi do with that Gemara? Yes?
Doesn't Esrog mean Heder for all 7 days?
Excuse me?
We need Heder for all 7 days?
We'll come to that. It's an excellent question. We will come to that in 2 minutes.
You could describe it this is the next level, being that Gemara could just be Heder for 1 day versus...
I'd rather hold off that you know, it's, we'll deal over here. We're dealing with nafkamina, so nafkamina v'chatchilim b'di'evid. I would still like to finish this nafkamina before getting to your nafkamina. But what could one very well say in terms of the nature of a hekesh, a difference between a hekesh and a gzera shava?
It brings some things, but not the whole thing.
In other words, that it could be that just, in other words, what the Gemara is being makish, just as hadar is a din b'di'evid in the definition of esrog, it's part and parcel of the din of Esrog. That's how the Torah defines Esrog. Pre-Eitz Hadar, so also Zekei Livan Veyu is part and parcel of the din of Lulav. Namely that the Gemara is over here comparing, Hekesh is the comparison. We're comparing it, that would be the Makar, that it's Ma'akev. Namely as opposed to that Yud Aleph Amud Beis, where Imlo Agado Kasher, over here the Gemara is telling us that just as Yavesh is Ma'akev in the world of Esrog, because it's built into the definition, so also it's Ma'akev in the world of Lulav, because the din of Zekeiva and Veyu by Lulav is built into the definition. I mean, that could very well be the Pshat over there in the Gemara.
Have we really seen a Hekesh like that?
Certainly. Certainly, certainly. That a Hekesh very often is only for one aspect, not more than that. Yeah.
The aspect is not the halacha of that and the halacha of this din, but it should teach us that not that we learn from that pasuk, but the way that we use that pasuk should be the way we use that pasuk.
Yes, 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 yes. That is a Hekesh, yes.
But where in that Gemara is the distinction between a Hadurai, Esrog? It doesn't make any mention of the word Zekeiva and Vehu.
Doesn't make any mentions of the word Zekeiva and Vehu. What pushed Rashi, right? In other words, you're asking basically if. Isn't Tosfos black and white in the Gemara? And we, okay, so we can make the Gemara gray in order that we shouldn't have a stira to Rashi. But what pushed Rashi? After all, Rashi is going to just continue with Niktam Rosho, it's a din of Hadar. Nifritzu Olav is a din of Hadar. Rashi knew the din of Hadar. And he knew that the din of Hadar applies to Lulav because of the Hekesh to Esrog. So what pushed him to say that Yavesh would not be a din of Hadar? I think that this is what Ben was hinting at earlier. What is the halacha bishas hadachak? What if we have a town where we have no fresh lulavim? All the lulavim in this town are yavish. So we have a Gemara that points out that even though we're not allowed to substitute for an esrog, a prish, a rimon, or a davar acher, Rav Yehuda allows for a situation of yavish. V'amar Rav Yehuda, ma'aseh b'bnei krachin hayomarishin lulavim levnei v'neihem. Amru misham raya, ein shas hadachak raya. Namely, that b'shas hadachak, the Gemara takes for granted that we can do away with the psul of lulav yavish. That b'shas hadachak, you can use a lulav yavish. Now, within Tosfos, that appears to be a no-starter. If we're saying that the learning out from Hadar, and in the world of Esrog, Hadar is built into the definition of an Esrog, and now we're saying because of the Hekesh, it's built into the definition of a Lulav, and it's not, and it's a Lulav Pasul, what in the world does that mean, that B'Shas Hadchak, we can use a Lulav Pasul? So Tosus is back is to the wall, and you saw what Tosus does. I mean, it's Mamish Meraf Sinigra. Tosus points out, Lo Matza Esrog, Lo Yavi Rimon, Vlo Parish, Yesh Ledaktek Mikan, Diim Lo Matza Kosher, Mevarech Bepasul. That if we can't find an Esrog Kosher, we can use an Esrog Pasul. Be the Nakat, you can't use a Parish, you can't use a Rimon, you can't use an orange or a pineapple. But an esrog pasul l'chora you can use v'yesh litchos. In other words, that you could say that's not what the Gemara is. You cannot be medayik that way in the Gemara at all. Aval yesh ledaktek d'shari kamo lulav pasul l'rabbanan b'shas hadchak. Namely, Tosfos understands that a lulav which is not hador is a lulav pasul, and if b'shas hadchak it is valid, it means that Tosfos tells us that b'shas hadchak one is allowed to use arba minim psulim. That's going to be his necessary conclusion from the Gemara. If you don't want to learn that way, which you understand is very, very difficult to say that you can take arba minim, according to Tosfos that are psulim, and say asher kedisham sasav v'tzivanu, in other words, al netilas lulav, on arba minim psulim. It's a very. We'll see in 2 minutes how we paskin, but that's Tosfos' shita. Rashi, on the other hand, has a very beautiful mechanism. What mechanism does Rashi have to explain why a lulav should be kosher b'shas hadchak? That once we're building lulav on zeh keli v'anvehu, so we can have two levels of zeh keli v'anvehu. When we're dealing under normal circumstances, we use the zeh keli v'anvehu of Gemara Shabbos, Gemara Gittin, that it's a ma'akev. In situations of shas hadchak, we can go down to the level of igud. In other words, zeh keli v'anvehu has an elasticity within it, that sometimes it's ma'akev, and sometimes it's not ma'akev. So what Rashi does is he's marviach pshat in this Gemara that according to Tosfos we're stuck within this Gemara. The Ravid, right, Lechora has an issue similar to Tosfos, but how does the Ravid get out of the issue?
He re-explains the Gemara. He says that, like, he said you could take it, but it's not like an
Ephra. So the Ravid on the bottom of the page, where the Rambam quotes this Gemara, Bishas hatchako, Bishas hasakon, Aluglev hayovesh kosher, Avoloshar haminim, the Ravid says, Ani, Eini Omer kein, Hare Amru Yavesh Pasul, V'kol Mokam Shamru Pasul, Afilu B'dievet, Upsulo Daraisahu, V'chol Psulo Daraisa, Ein Chiluk B'shas Hatchak, U'kisha Amru, Ein Shas Hatchak Raya, Kach Amru, Linkot B'yadayhu, Koldahu, it's Kedai B'shas Hatchak to have something in your hands, Ki Hechi Drogush Kachach Minayu, Mitzas Esro, L'Aleinu, someone's in a concentration camp, it's Kedai that he have some branch in his hand, that he won't forget that we have a din of Arba Minim. Rav Yehuda lo heyed ala shayu morishin ulevim b'nehem lo amoshim b'varchim alav. He said that if you have nothing better, so we'll use the lulav yavesh as a zecher ba'alma, but not to be mevarach. Right? In other words, that certainly is, you know, it is a way out, but whether that's shot in the Gemara, that's a good question. But within this Gemara, Rashi is the only Rishon that really has the tools of being able to say that in the Mishnah, Pasul means B'di'eved, and B'shas Hatchak, we can still use it and be Mevarech on it, because we have a sliding scale of Zekei Livan Ve'yu. Yes?
We're going to explain that this Gemara now means that Rashi has the ability to choose either of the two, but we said the Hekesh means that the Torah told us one of them.
The Hekesh is that in the normal circumstances the Torah told us one of them. What we are suggesting currently is that
to Hadar by Esrog.
I understand.
We're not saying that has a sliding scale.
No, because Hadar doesn't. That's so where Tosfos is stuck, right? But Zekei Livan Ve'yu does.
But we're saying Zekei Livan Ve'yu has to be remarkish to and say that it should only be understood.
So then you have a question on Rashi. What did he gain by adding in Zekei Livan Anvehu, if he could have simply written Hadar, you know, where it's and it's Ma'akev, boom, boom, boom. And so then, you know, Rashi Lechora would have no reason to bring in Zekei Livan Anvehu unless it's coming to explain something, which I think it is coming to explain something. What we're suggesting is that in the Sefer Torah, when you have a Sefer Torah Menumar, we're saying that it's Pasul. That's what the Gemara says. But if that would be the only Sefer in Torah in town, we're saying that you could use it, because that would be a Shas HaTchak. That any psul which is based on Zekei Livan Ve'yu, if we're going to have such a psul, and we only find three Gemaras such a psul, we have Shabbos, we have Gittin, and according to Rashi, we have Lulav, that we have the ability of a bit of wiggle room. That's, in other words, it's a suggestion for Rashi.
Is Rashi really passing that way in this scenario?
Don't know. Could be. I don't know. That's what I'm suggesting. Again, what are the alternatives? According to the Ravid, Shas HaTchak is simply a Zecher Ba'alma, and one certainly would not make a bracha on a Zecher Ba'alma because you don't have a Lulav, it's Kemitz. According to Tosfos, we take the other extreme. You see from this Gemara that you came in Mevarach Asher Kedisham Tzosavet Sivanu on a Lulav Pasul, and Hu Hadin Lechora says Tosfos, on an Esrog Pasul, and on a Hadas Pasul, and an Arava Psula, you can make a bracha on the Tilas Lulav. The Rambam, everyone is bothered by this. The Rambam was also bothered. The Rambam also, Pashtus, understood like Tosfos, that Lulav Yavesh is a din of Hadar. So Rambam says, Bishas HaTchak, or Bishas HaSakona, Lulav HaYavesh Kosher, Avalo Sharmin. A Lulav Yavesh would be kosher, but not an Esrog Yavesh. But what have you gained? What in other words, and then so the Hagos Ramini says, a Lulav and a Hadas. where do all these Lulkim come from? So I just wanted to share with you, if you can just pass this out, that if one looks in Shulchan Aruch, one really finds almost all of the permutation of the various shitos In other words, I just put it on a separate page because it's to a certain degree an exercise, but just to understand the tchak that we have within our sugya, bishasa tchak, paskins the machaber, she'ein nimtza kosher, the Mishnah Berurah points out, bishasa tchak means that they're simply in the city. It's not as though some people have, some people don't have. So then, go and borrow from a person that has. In Matanam Asahachzir, Shasatak is in the city. Ein nimtza kosher, kol hapsulim notrin ve'ein mevarchim. Who shita the kol hapsulim notrim ve'ein mevarchim? This is the Ravid. So if you look in the Shar Hatziyun, Sif Katan Samach Aleph, towards the bottom of the page, Hagra v'hu kedas haRavid hamuva beis Yosef. Okay, then the Ramah says, Vahaga, Vyesh Machshirim, Lulav Yavesh, Afilu Levarech Alav. That's the Ramba. Vachainohagin Levarech Alulavam Yaveshim, Afilu Bedika Acherim Lachim, Aval Bishar Minim Ein Linhog, Kachi. In other words, we only have a Gemara about Lulav. Vyesh Makilin Afilu Behadas Yavesh. Right, the Hagos Maimini, the Eshlis Mochalayu Afilu Bishas Hadchak. In other words, and so over here, we have these issues of how far do we go. We don't find within the Shulchan Aruch, the Sheet of Tosfos, that we're even going to be Machshir a Esrog Yavish, but to distinguish between an Esrog and a Lulav is very, very difficult within the Sheetah that everything is being learned out from Hadar. Once already we're going to say that maybe this is Hadar and this is Zekeli Vanvehu, I think that there is more room to distinguish. Okay, so you can just, you know, go through it on your own in terms of the Makoros of the different deos. Okay, so one nafkamina that we mentioned was nafkamina v'chatchiglan b'di'evet. Another nafkamina is bishas hadchak. A third nafkamina in terms of the reasons that we're offering is what exactly is the shear of Yavshus. Within Rashi, we don't have a clue. Rashi doesn't tell us anything about what does it mean to speak about a lulav Yavesh. However, Tosfos points out, HaYavesh Dehacha, Ein Lefarish Kamo Yavesh Deperek Ein Ma'amidim, that it's an issue of time, that 12 months turns something into Yavesh, because we find that we have a Hadas, in which we say that we have certain alim that are yavish and certain that are lach, and that we may be machshir this hadas, and they're all the same age, right? So we can't. It's not going to help us to give a time frame. Ella yeshlamar yavshus tahacha kamo yavshus ozen b'chor, and points out that we're dealing with shetehen nifrechet b'tziporin, that if you were to touch it with your fingernail, press on it with your fingernail, it would crack. As opposed to that which is lach, it would simply be pliable. That would be the nafkamina, that would be the shear of Yavshus. Namely, what is Tosis' working assumption? Where are we bringing in the world of Yavshus from? It was Tosis is searching for parallel. And we're looking for dinam b'chol Torah kula. We're saying that the world of Yavish in the world of Lulav will be parallel to something else that we're going to find in the world of Halacha. Now, in other words, we have a Yud Bet Chodesh, that's not going to work, and so we'll move over to Nifrach Bet Tziporen. But the Ravid takes a totally different approach. The Ravid is quoted by the Rush. Let's look over there in the Rush. In the first section, in the third parak. In Sif Aleph, Siman Aleph, v'haravid zalchilek biyavshus lefi haminim, v'gabei lulav kasav hadavar yadua dafilu achar kamashanim eino nifrach ve'eino omed al yavshusa bepricha v'shvira. Namely, Tosfos's Siman is maybe fine and good theoretically, and it may be meaningful in other areas, but it's not going to help us very, very much in the world of Lulav. Elosh Asimon Hanochon Vahayashar Bemine Eitzim Hu Hamar Eshelahem. We're going to deal with color, that the color will be a simon as to whether it is lach, whether it is damp, or whether it is yavesh. But he goes one step further, that since we're working off of the Yerushalmi, and yavesh is possible because of the world of mace, what kind of a simon do we require? What should be our criteria? Not just that it but why that it turns white, because turning white has what character?
It can't come back.
It's irreversible. We need something which is irreversible, similar to death. And as opposed to parich, not just the question that technically we have an issue, but if you take something which is dry and put it into water, then it's then going to become damp again. It's not irreversible, it's reversible. In other words, Omer Ani Shein Don and Osam Ki Yevesh Yishim Tishrei Osam B'Mayim Yoma Yomayim Yafsurul Kamos Shehayu B'Mishushan B'Marehen, etc. However, the world of Libun, then no matter how many days you're going to put it into water, it's dead. Harayu Ke'etz Yavesh. Even if you leave it for days in water, in other words, we need an irreversible simon. So the again, within the reasons being given for Yavesh, what Gemina was L'chatzchila B'Dieved, another Nafgemina is to explain Shas Hadchak, a third Nafgemina would be what is the Shear of Yavshus. That if we're dealing within of Hadar, so then we can very well bring in Shiurim Mikol HaTorah Kula, even if technically it may be problematic. But if we're dealing within of Mace, then L'chora, the reason that's given will impact on the on the shear, that it has to be irreversible, like a mace is irreversible. The fourth nafkamina is what Shua mentioned earlier. How many days is a lulav yavesh going to be problematic on Sukkos? What does the Rambam paskin? Just the first, right? The Rambam says that all of the psulim that we've been dealing with are pasul only on the first day, and they are kosher even yom tov sheni im shar haminim. Comes along the Ravid and says, "Ein akol modim v'gozel v'yavesh she'ein psulam mishum hadar." Namely, that the Ravid agrees that all psulei hadar are only the first day. That's what Shua pointed out. That's the sheet of Tosfos. That anything which is hadar is pasul only one day. However, the moment that we're dealing, according to the Ravid, with a world of Bimneshu Kames, so then it's possible all 7 days. That simply we don't have over here a lulav. So the nafkamina, in terms of the reasonings, are fourfold. That we have an issue of lechatchila b'dieved, we have an issue of shas hadchak, we have an issue of the shear of yavshus, and we have an issue of how many days it's going to be possible. Within Rashi, we don't know. Within Zekeri Va'anveyu, it would appear that since Rashi is working off of the Bavli, as opposed to Yerushalmi, and the Bavli does make the Hekesh to Esrog, so even if it's being learned out from a different pasuk, but Lachora, if Hadar is only an issue of one day, so the Hekesh of Zekeri Va'anveyu, Lachora would also be one day. Yes?
So this is sort of how Rashi would understand that Gemara of Hekesh, that would be a possible for one day from Esther, but would be different for the next 7 days, but not necessarily, and that would lead open to sort of coming up with the Hekesh understanding that you had said.
Yes.
Which I thought was then contradicting how I understand that Rashi can also be viewed as a sliding scale,
right,
while thinking that the Pasuk is telling us Dafka. I think understanding that this could be how Rashi would understand the Hekesh might be make it different. Meaning Yavesh, why Aluv Yavesh might be both needs Hidr on the first day the same way that Esrog does, but also has a separate puzzle of Yavesh for all 7 days. And having both of those things would be very important for Rashi.
In other words, you want to say that, you know, understand Rashi like as a souped up Tosfos. That we have a din of Hadar, but that would only be for the first day. And Zeke Liva and Veyu would be on top of Hadar, and that would passel for all of Sukkot.
Which is the pshat in Anveyu? Like, why should Anveyu go away after the first day? That's all.
But then,
every mitzvah.
But then it would be a zekei Anveyu of lechatchila.
Correct.
But then the question is, why would Rashi bring it on the Mishnah of lulav hayavesh pasul?
Why can't he still say to the diyeva? Sorry, why can't he say it's still zekei Anveyu of diyeva without a hekesh?
Why would the Zekei Liva and Vehu be more chamor than Hadar?
In other words,
Hadar is built into the Esrog, and yet it only applies the first day. The Zekei Liva and Vehu, which is a din b'chala Torah kula, that should go beyond the din of Hadar.
And how do you know this is not good by the other scenarios? Is there a hekesh?
Excuse me.
Is there a hekesh for Zekei Liva and Vehu by the other bidyanic scenario?
No.
But we know sometimes it is even from the
other
and sometimes
it isn't. We have seen that in Mila we're viewing Zekei Van Veyu as a Ma'akev. That in the world of Sefer Torah, the Achronim understand that the Gemara is a Ma'akev.
And yeah. Hekesh is not the mechanism in which we know that.
Right.
And so, like, I'm not sure if that's necessary.
I hear what you say. In other words, it appears to me to be quite mechudash. To say that, but it's possible. I'm not saying it's not possible. It's possible. It just, you know, it's would appear to me that Zekei Liva and Vehu would be more helpful to us in situations like we spoke about in Shas HaTchak to bring in a psula chatchila on a certain plane rather than to extend the psul b'dievet even further. Zekei Liva and Vehu would be more of a mekil off of Hadar rather than being a machmir on Hadar.
Isn't the basic pshat of Zekei Liva and Vehu that it is generally a chumra in mitzvos and
as a lechatchila, as a lechatchila.
So maybe that's what Rashi's saying.
In Achinami, you know, I hear what you're saying. To say that Rashi is telling us that on top of Hadar we have an issue Zekei Liva and Vehu. But the Hadar is a Ma'akev, and Zekei Liva and Vehu is l'chatchila. The only issue then with Rashi is why he wrote that on the Mishnah, where it says Yavesh Pasul.
And also why he says only on Yavesh and not the other Din.
And not the other Din. Right. Why? Well, he knew the Din of Hadar. And L'chor, Niktam Rosha was also L'chor, an Indian of Zekei Liva and Vehu, etc. But Rashi did over there mentioned the Din of Hadar. Okay, it's something to think about. Okay, let's continue in the Mishnah. So we have the din of, or it's working with the dinim of lulav. So we've seen the din of yavesh. We also have a din of niktam rosho. Here, there's no machlokas rishonim. Everyone agrees that if the lulav is chopped off on the top, that it's pasul mishum hador. Even Rashi and the Ravid only disagrees in terms of yavesh. And everyone is going to agree over here with Tosfos, and so Niktam Rosha certainly would only be possible the first day, and Niktam Rosha Yitachen that even B'Shas HaTchak would be possible. Even Rashi would agree that Niktam Rosha would be possible even B'Shas HaTchak. Our problem over here is simply definition of what exactly is Rosha. What do we define as the Rosh of a Lulav? And this comes into a very, very basic issue of the comparison of a lulav to the world of Hadas and Arava. So let's just jump for a minute to Hadas and Arava. What two elements are required for a Hadas and an Arava to be kosher? What technically do we need within the organic unit in order to speak about the world of kashrus?
Top of the branch.
Without even dealing with the tops. We need a branch and we need
leaves.
We need a branch and leaves. Right? In other words, the leaves without a branch are meaningless. The branch without leaves, unfortunately, is possible. Okay, we need a branch and leaves. Our question is, how do we view a lulav? And this, we have a machlokas rishonim, but Tosfos is assuming that within the lulav also we have a branch and leaves. And the leaves of the lulav are that which are going to be that are that which niktam relates to. The only question is which leaves? And so Tosfos has two options, which leaves would be the Rosh. So l'chora mayri b'shnei olim ha'emtzoyim ha'yotzim mirosh ha'shidra. Either the two top leaves that grow as a twin that are on the top of the spine of the lulav, but then we Tosus has an issue in terms of nitla hatiyomus. I mean that why deal with niktam and nitla, etc. So Tosus moves over that niktam mayri barov ha'alim ha'elyonim. Barov ha'alim ha'elyonim. Those are the two options that Tosos raises. What third option is raised?
What does that mean?
What?
What does it mean by profile?
That if most of the leaves are cut off, namely if you have alim el yonim, you have 15 alim el yonim, and 8 of them are cut, then that's niktam rosho. 7 of them are cut, it's not niktam rosho. Irrelevant if these are the two middle ones, or the side ones, etc. Rov alim el yonim. The Ritva quotes the Ravid, who raises what third possibility? Niktam rosho pasul, pireish haRavid, de rosho shalulav hu rosh shidro, de lulav hu hashedra, v'hu itzumo hanikra lulav. That the lulav, we're looking at the branch of the lulav, not the leaves of the lulav. And where did the Ravid get this from? Ve'ein ha'alim ela ka'alei ha'hadas v'ha'arava, she'eno nifsal mishum k'tima ta'alim. That when we speak about niktam rosho in the world of hadas and arava, we're speaking about the branch being cut, not by the leaves being cut. So just as the branch is the ikar, even when we have a branch and leaves, just as the branch is the ikar in the hadas and the arava, so also the branch is the ikar in terms of the lulav.
So where is it cut? Like at the top, it's just cut off.
Where, in other words, how far up does the branch go? The branch is that part where the leaves are still not separated. The bottom part of the lulav, depending on how large your lulav is, but the part the lulav, when the leaves are all stuck together, that's the shedra, and that's the equivalent of the branch. And so only when that is cut, what goes on above, we don't care. Give your lulav a haircut. Doesn't make a difference if you cut the olim of the lulav. You just shouldn't hit into the shedra. Why does the Ritva disagree with the Ravid? The Ein Zenachon, right? 2, 4, 6 lines in the middle of the line. The Ein Zenachon, the Vaday Halulov, Hainu Shedro, Im Alim, Ubalav Alim, Lo Mikri Lulav Stam. That if we want to define the basic nature of the Lulav is a combination of, in other words, of a stem and of a branch and leaves. The leaves are part and parcel of the definition. Then we, as opposed to the hadas and the arava, where the base that we're speaking about is the branch, and the leaves are a necessary condition. And the machlokes is how many leaves you may need, etc. There we could speak about the branch as the ikar in terms of niktam. Ma she'en ken, in the world of lulav, the tsura of the lulav is the shedra plus the alim. And since the alim rise above the shedra, and we're speaking about over here of niktam rosho, so rosho would be, like in Tosfos, within the alim. Just he has two deos, yesh omrim, whether we're dealing with the niktam of the rov alim, or mistabra, we're dealing with the niktam of the two upper alim. Namely, how much of a rosh do we actually require? Is the rosh the aspect of the lulav when we move from the shedra into the alim? Or within the alim, we also have a rosh. That he leaves as an as an open issue. So the basic hakira that we have to ask ourselves over here, we're going to see in other areas, but just in terms of working definitions, is the relationship between the branch and the leaves within the Arba Minim. That within the world of Hadas and Arava, clearly you need both a branch and leaves. However, only the branch is meaningful in terms of Niktam Rosho. Within Lulav, that's a question, do we use the same definition, that's the Ravid, or do we say that in Lulav the leaves are part and parcel of the definition of the Lulav, and then the Rosh would be the leaves, and the only question is one of which leaves? The upper leaves, that's the what we call the Tiomet, or Rov Alim. But even when we're dealing with Rov, whichever we're dealing with, how much has to be cut in order to be Niktam? How much has to be cut in order to be Niktam? So the Ritva, Tosas doesn't say, the Ritva in the third line says, Ela Hayanira, She'eno Nifsal, Ela Kishen Niktam Rosho, meaning Rubo Shel Ale. B'chein Kosser Rabbeinu Yonah, V'shem Rabo Sav. That if we want to use green, I guess, okay. If over here we have the Shedra, and then it reaches a point where we have Alim coming up. So Niktam Rosha would either be this Aleh, or it would be the Rove of the Alim. But how much has to be cut? Yitachain, that if the Aleh begins over here and ends over here, so only when the middle Aleh would be cut to this point, Rove Aleh, then it would be possible. And if we're dealing with these Alim, so then when they are cut up to this point, where you would have a rove that would be cut, then it would be possible. That's what's the Nira. However, since this is all a Nira, we have no Raya one way or another, Mikeba Nikitani Stama, Niktam Rosho, Yeshlochu Shafiru Niktam Kol Shahu. Afal Pisha Ein Kane Bishar Psule Lulav, Asu Rosha Lulav Kachotmo Shel Esrog, Shehu B'mashu. They were going to see that in the world of Arba Minim, everything has Shiurim, except for the Chotem of the Esrog, the part of the Esrog which begins to slant inwards, that there, any Kol Shehu would be a Pasul, any Mare, which is not a normal Mare of a Kol Shehu would be Pasul. So over here, if we're going to compare the Rosh to the Rosh, then we would have also over here, simply cutting of the Kol Shehu of the Tiomet, or a Kol Shehu of the Rove of the Alim, that would be Pasul, and that's where he lends off that V'chein Yirei Mitzvah Chol Sheshim V'chein Chol Shesh Mori Natri Rechmano Patre, that the Ra'ah, his Rebbe, was Chol Shesh in terms of a Kol Shehu. Okay? So what we see from Niktam Rosho is this is the question over here of the definition of the Luvav. According to the Ravid, this is the definition of the basic Luvav, the Shedra, just parallel to the branch in Hadas and Arava. Mashenken, and according to the Ritva and Tosfos, we're dealing with the Shedra plus the Alim. And then we have technical questions. How much of the Alim has to be Niktam, both in terms of the quantity and in terms of the shear of the of Niktam? Moving over to Nifritzu Alav. So here, again, we have everyone agreeing that Nifritzu Alav is an issue of Hadar, even Rashi, that the moment that we have Nifritzu, it's Hadar. The question is, what does Nifritzu mean? Rashi is the most extreme shita, that what does Nifritzu mean? In order for it to be possible, how do these leaves have to relate to the Shedra?
Not connected at all.
Not connected at all. Simply they're tied on. And simply not connected at all. Tosfos disagrees. What's Tosfos' definition of Nifritzu?
What's the
Mara? What's Tosfos' definition of Nifritzu?
Most of the
leaves are on the... What? I understand, they were all on, but... Tosfos, the last line. V'hainu shecholak kol ola ve'ola lishnayim. That the leaves of the lulav are all double leaves. When all the leaves are broken, are cut in half. Cut in half doesn't mean cut off, but simply that they are divided. When all the leaves are divided, that is the world of Nifritzu. Why didn't Tosfos want to learn like Rashi? So Tosfos says, because we have an issue of linguistics, that the Gemara uses an Aramaic term. Nifritzu is a Hebrew word. The Gemara defines it with an Aramaic term of chufya. And chufya is like a... is a lulav that would be used as a broom, and when you're using a lulav as a broom, what you do is that you divide the leaves into two, and in that way you're able to get into the corners, etc., etc. What Rashi describes is not a chufya. When we have the leaves tied on, what is that called? Hutze. That's hutze. And since the Gemara uses the phrase chufya as opposed to hutzi, so that's why Tosfos disagreed with Rashi. The Ritva, however, disagrees with Rashi on another plane, that we find Nifritzu also by a hadas. And no one would say that if you take the leaves off of a hadas, I mean, it's nothing to talk about. There's simply no hadas at all. So Nifritzu can't possibly mean that. The Ritva wasn't disagreeing so much with Rashi as he was disagreeing with the Rif, who also learned like Rashi. So what would we say for Rashi and the Rif? Why would they, at what point would they disagree with the Ritva? Again, the Ritva is making a comparison between lulav and hadas.
It's a different definition for hadas.
Exactly. In other words, that in the world of hadas and an arava, there's a different relationship between the leaves and the tree. Over here, in the world of lulav, the ikar lulav is the shedra, is the eitz, and taking off the leaves is an issue of hadar. We're not hitting into the ikar definition of the min. The Rambam has, however, a third definition of Nifritzu. The Rambam says Nifritzu Olav in the end of Perakas Halacha Gimel V'hu Sheyedaldalu Mishedro Shalulav Ka'ole Hachorios Pasul. Nifridu alav zeme al zevelonid aldalu kore choreos kosher. Nifritzu alav hushi adaldalu mishidro shalulav kole choreos pasul. What does the Rambam be mechadish to us? That Nifritzu doesn't mean, like Rashi, that they are cut off but tied on. Doesn't mean, like Tosfos, that every leaf is divided into two, but rather. And again, that this would be our shedra, and then the leaves would be nidaldalu, that they are drooping. They are drooping to the sides. That is the din of Nifritzu, according to the Rambam. The problem is, within the Rambam, that we have a Mishnah that says that although Nifritzu is pasul, but Nifridu alav zeme al zeh is kasher. What would Nifridu be? Namely, also they're separated, but it's a question just of floppiness, right? In other words, to what degree are they separated? As long as Nifridu, that they're still basically going up and only with a slight angle, this is kosher, and this is already pasul, and of course we will have a problem in terms of where do you draw the line between, within the Rambam, between Nifridu and Nifritzu, within Rashi, within Antosfos and the Ritva, etc., the distinctions are quite clear within the world of the Rambam. It's very, very unclear where one would draw the line. Okay, that's what we have over here as an overview of the Mishnah. Before we're going to get to the Gemara, and the Gemara is not going to deal at all at this point with the nature of the psulim, but rather we're going to go back to the first two words of the Mishnah, lulav hagazul, and we're going to deal with two issues. One issue that Shua raised earlier that we touched on in terms of the length of the psul, how many days are we dealing with the psul? Kapasik betani, the difference between perhaps Yom Tov Rishon, Yom Tov Sheni, and secondly, in terms of the world of mitzvah hababa avera. So if I can pass these out to you. One. Okay. I just want to explain to you what I want from you, if possible. So the two issues that I spoke about in terms of the extent of the psul and the world of mitzvah avera, so I divided in the Mar Makomo sheet into two sections. The first section, you have to, you know, it's basically we're dealing with the Tosos over here on Daf Kaftesim at Beis. The Ritva brings in a Ravid, question of the Ravid, two Terutzim of the Ravid, and then we have a Rambam that we've already seen, but to see it in the context of Tosfos and the Ritva, and the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch, that's very straightforward. Within Mitzvah Baba Avera, so if you just read the Gemara until you get down to Upliga de Rav Yitzchak, about two-thirds of the way down the page, until it says, Mishum dahavere mitzvah haba ba'avera. Right before Upliga. So just read the Gemara there with Rashi. And the top Tosfos over here on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, compare that to Tosfos earlier on Daf Tes Amud Aleph. In Psachim, there's a Maharam Chalva'a who brings in a Shita of the Balei HaTosfos and a Ramban. And so that will help us serve as a contra. The Ravid, you saw the end of the Ravid with the Lo HaMesi Mihaluka, to see the entire Ravid on Yudalad Amid Beis. And the Rambam, to contrast what he writes in Hilchos Yisurim Mizbeach with what he writes over here in Hilchos Lulav, and then go back to the Meiri on the Mishnah of Lulav HaGosel. And I point out to you what we're going to deal with are basically four issues. Firstly, is this world of mitzvah baba avera psul d'oraisa or psul d'rabbanan? Secondly, what is mitzvah? Thirdly, what is avera? And fourthly, what is haba'ab? Namely, what's the relation over here between mitzvah and avera? Okay, so B'li Neder will go in that direction on Wednesday.